bulletin in Galatians 5, 16 to 26. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another.
Now, as we turn to your word, we seek your blessing and your direction, for again here we acknowledge that we need your ministry to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You might have noticed that in the pastor's presence, in the pastor's absence, I'm here, of course. As I've sat and listened to most of the messages on Galatians, there seems to be in a lot of the passages that are set out what I would call classics. The Word of God is all equal. But there are classic verses that come up in various times. And because you're going through and doing 6 or 7 or 10 or 11 or whatever verses together, you don't always, you don't spend the time on that particular classical verse. I hope classic's not a bad word there. And it is the same today. Verses 22 and 23 are some of the great verses of the scriptures, and certainly great verses in Galatians. But we will just touch on that today as we go through. In verse 16 starts off with, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." I'm not quite sure what the translation we use in the bulletin. I think it might be a Morrison Baptist version or something. But between a lot of them, we get somewhere near the point. It's live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This passage has so much to say about being led by the Holy Spirit. For myself, in recent times, I have been considering the name and the work of the Holy Spirit, or more in particular, my attitude to the Holy Spirit. So often he seems to be the forgotten member of the Holy Trinity. Now, my excuse, the reason in my case, goes back to the early 1960s. You all remember those days, don't you? When a spirit moved through the churches, which came to be known in some areas as the charismatic movement. As you remember, it focused on the ministry of the Holy Spirit through healing and speaking in unknown tongues. One of the end results was a division that became very evident in some families, Christian families, and in churches. In regard to this movement being authentic or not. And at that time, many were concerned about the overemphasis that was given to the Holy Spirit. For whenever you spoke to people who were up to their eyeballs involved in this, that's all they talked about was the Holy Spirit. It was a far cry from the preaching of the full gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were, of course, some outlandish statements made by some people at that time. So to counteract this, I think that there was a pulling away from using the name of the Holy Spirit. I've got this cough, I don't know where that came from, but anyway, we'll stick with it. Pulling away from using the name of the Holy Spirit, which of course was a very wrong thing to do. We resorted to using such terms as God's Spirit or just the Spirit. And so for me, it has depersonalized the Holy Spirit, which in my mind, has changed our relationship. We have a personal relationship with the Father. We have a personal relationship with the Son. And we should also have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, co-equal in the Holy Trinity. I think at times that we're not quite clear about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's easy to understand the image of a Father. It's easy to understand the image of a Son. But a Spirit is somewhat out there, in the unknown. It's a thing that they make cartoons about and evil movies that poke fun at these things and lead you astray. Even though God is referred to as a spirit and that we should worship him in spirit and in truth. In John 14, chapter 16, the Lord Jesus promised that he would ask the Father to give you another counselor. He said to his disciples, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. And then down in verse 26, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. And then in chapter 15, verse 26, he goes on to say, the Lord says that the Holy Spirit will testify about me. I see this as his number one priority. I may be wrong about this. I've been wrong before. It's only just a few minutes ago. I see this as a number one priority of the Holy Spirit to testify about the Lord Jesus. He takes the words of the Lord Jesus and he impresses us with their truth. He also speaks to those who know him not and speaks into their spirit as into our spirit and convinces of the truth of the word of God. He takes the word and makes it alive in our spirits. It is the Holy Spirit that makes all this work. It is the Holy Spirit that makes this business of church, this business of being a Christian, this business of following the Lord Jesus. It comes together because it's the Holy Spirit that does this. And this is why you and I can't work that out ourselves. This is why we can't manufacture this. We may pretend at times, but we really can't get down to the nitty-gritties. It is the Holy Spirit that makes these things come true. It's the Holy Spirit that makes them work. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, you know where Paul said, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, whom you have received from God?" The moment that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and you were forgiven and cleansed and lifted up, the Holy Spirit came into your life and he dwells with you because your body is his temple and the Holy Spirit is there. In Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit helps each believer in his prayer life, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And I'm not taking that any further. He intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. He takes our prayer and makes it work. He takes our prayer time and makes it something of some value. This may be a little out of the paddock too, but I see that he takes my prayer and he knocks it into shape. He knocks off the rough edges, and so thankful for that. Or there's this twitching and there's twitching there or whatever, and he presents my prayer as he does yours to the Father. It's the Holy Spirit that makes our prayer work. So Paul continues his letter by encouraging all to live by that Spirit that is within, so that you may not gratify the desires of the sinful nature or the flesh. What are the desires of the sinful nature? The desires of the sinful nature are all and anything that has to do with my selfishness. All that has to do with my selfishness comes from the desires of the sinful nature. For we want to have, we want to do, we want to go, we want to be. And above all, we want to be in a situation where we have no restrictions on our lives. I don't need anybody telling me what I can and cannot do. I just want to be able to do my own thing with no restrictions. That is the extent of our selfish desires. It's all about me and mine and my. I always get them mixed up, but you know. So the great problem for most believers is how to avoid the sinful desires. How to get the victory over the sin. In some ways it has become much better when you come to a place where you realize that as a believer you have two natures. Now you may not swallow any of this, I don't know. But personally speaking, I am very much aware of the fact that as a Christian I have two natures within my body. before coming to Christ, I had one nature. That was the sinful nature. That was the human nature. That was the one that I was born with. But when the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, there is new life comes in. And we become a new creation. A new creation in Christ. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So in the experiences of my life, which is of no relevance to you, I understand that, we will always have the old nature to contend with as we go through this life. Always have that old nature there to contend with as we go through this life. And if you look at verse 17 there, we contend, because verse 17 tells us that the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other. And so you do not do what you want to do. Sometimes you end up doing what you don't want to do. You could call that your Romans 7 experience if you wanted to. In verses 19 to 21, Paul gives us a sordid list of the works of the flesh. The old nature. You know, the one that's all about me and my and mine. But have you noticed as you go through this list, it's not all about sexual immorality. Even though that heads this list and most other lists. And today you cannot help but notice that as the swing in our society, and more so in this last year, seeks to openly and vocally move further away from Christian principles, then sexual immorality rises to a greater height. You take the restrictions away and I can do whatever I like. However, as you look at this list, you can see that some are very close to home. Very close to home. Such things as hatred, discord, jealousy, selfish ambition, and so on. These are the results of the conflict that we are in. They're the results that we see in our lives. You remember the story of the man who had two fighting dogs? I think he must have taken them around places, and some people made money and some people lost money on them. And a man said to him one day, "How do you know which dog's going to win the fight?" You know that story? He said, "The one that I feed the most wins the fight. The one that I neglect, the one that just lives off the smell of an oil rag, the one that's weak and tired, he hasn't got a hope. But the one that I feed the most wins." And that's where he made his money. Two dogs. Two natures. The one that I feed the most wins. If I want to feed what's in verses 19 to 21, the enemy wins. And I'm discouraged. And I'm full of doubt. And I'm down in the dumps. If I feed the things that of the Spirit of God, if I'm into His Word, if I'm in prayer, and if I'm in ministry, and if I'm seeking to walk with Him, the new creature in Christ wins hand over foot. The one who I feed the most wins. in verses 22 and 3, we're given the results of the conflict when we're living by the Spirit, or when we're walking by the Spirit, or when we're being led by the Holy Spirit, when we have yielded ourselves to His will, when we have presented our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. It's a result of the conflict when we're committed ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because we all know now, but we didn't when we were kids or when we were teaching kids, that the fruit of the Spirit is a singular. It's one fruit of the one Spirit. Note also that it is a fruit that is not of works. Not one part of the Spirit fruit named can be bought, can be earned, can be secured through human effort. No matter how much we try to do good, to be good, to live good, we will fail to be able to bear that fruit. We cannot love as we ought to love by trying to love. We cannot put all our effort into loving. It doesn't work. It's easy to love the lovely. It's easy to love those who are nice to you. But the Christian love loves the unlovely. And you can't do that by yourself. You can't work up within yourself something that will click and you'll just be able to love people who are just downright cantankerous or unlovely. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. Joy cannot be brought to the human heart by doing. Money cannot buy joy. Peace cannot be purchased. What did Jesus say about peace? He said, "My peace I leave you. My peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives." Peace is something that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is with the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. The reality is, it is the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's not achieved by our good works. When we as believers are walking by the Spirit, when we as believers are letting Him call the shots, the outward manifestation of that walk will be the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. When the Spirit of God calls the shots and we follow, the fruit of the Spirit will be evident. And against such things there is no law. The verse there, that tickles me a little bit at times. There is no law to prohibit you from displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Nobody can say you can't be joyful, you can't love, you can't be forgiving, you can't be this or that. There's no law that says you can't do that. No doubt some people will make one up down this track, I suppose. But against such things there is no law. You cannot make it happen. It is the Lord who gives to His people, as you see in verse 24, those who have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. He gives to those who have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Galatians 2:20 says, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." It's almost like he is now a dead man walking. Still alive, but dead to his old ways, to his sinful nature. There comes a time when we see what our sin is doing to us, what our sin does to our loved ones and to our ministries, that we have to look again to the cross and desire to have our sins nailed to that cross, to be crucified with the dear Lord Jesus, and to be able to live in his strength. Take my sin and nail it to that cross. Have done with it. Crucified with it. Because this has to be a daily declaration. This is not a one-off. This is a daily declaration. Why is it? Because you are in a conflict. And so there is this daily declaration. It could go along the lines of, not my will, but thou, O Lord. This is what keeps keeps us in step with the Holy Spirit. You teach me. You lead me so that I can stay in step with you. So in other words, our key focus is not our efforts, it's not our works, but our key focus is our surrender to live moment by moment, submissively trusting in the Lord and not in ourselves. As we surrender control to him, he will help us. He will minister to us, and we will be able to bear the fruit of his likeness as we see it expressed in the fruit of the Spirit. I see the fruit of the Spirit, and I see the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we seek him to lead us and to guide us, he will minister to us so that we bear his likeness. We've got a way to go, haven't we? Let's finish with, let the Lord Jesus have the last word. In John 15:5, he reminds us that he is the vine. We are the branches. If we remain in him and he in us, we will bear much fruit. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We want to see the Spirit of God move in our own midst and in our own town and area and the ministries that are here. We need to be allowing him to call the shots. We need to have that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit where you can talk to him and call him by his name. And we need to be led by him. We need him to teach us the truths about the Lord Jesus Christ and teach us about the things we need to know. Let us pray. Blessed Father, blessed Son, blessed Holy Spirit, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your ministry to us. We thank you that even when we were without strength and with no rights of our own, you've come along and you've touched our hearts. You've entered into our spirits and you've spoken to us and you've led us. And we pray that today we might be concerned to let you lead us day by day. Holy God, we want to see your Spirit move in the midst of us today and throughout the days that lie ahead. For Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.